Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Now, remember, Dave Joyner said days, not weeks. I know it seems like months since he said it, but it's only been since Thursday. Just so you know. In the meantime, Rich Scarcella in the final half hour from the Reading Eagle will talk about this and more. And we're joined by Dave Paulson, head basketball coach at Bucknell. Dave, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Steve. And just to clarify, I'm not a candidate for the Penn State football job.
Good.
You can cross my name off that list. I know. Just to clarify that.
Well, the bummer is they were going to interview you Wednesday. No.
I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, you probably did. Yeah.
Hey, you come out of this thing 1-1. The way they bounced back against Colgate, what did that tell you?
Well, you know, I think it showed our guys a lot of maturity and toughness. We really defended at a high level against Colgate. And we played with that extra edge of intensity after, you know, losing three in a row and not playing very well in our last three games. We played brilliant offensive basketball in the first half. And then in the first 10 minutes of the second half, we scored 5 points. But we hung in there and we hung tough. And so I think that was a good learning curve. You know, it's a little bit been the case with our team, you know, very, very good offensive displays. And then some extended droughts, and we got to continue to work on execution and player development, you know, so we shorten those droughts and have them come less frequently. But as long as we defend and take care of the ball and kind of keep our composure, then I think we'll have a chance to be a pretty decent team.
Cam Ayers does his deal, but what has it meant to you that Chris Haas has stepped up the way he has, averaging 22 in the Patriot games?
Well, you know, Chris is a very talented player, and he's one of the guys, you know, he can shoot a three, he can shoot a pull-up, he can get to the rim. He had a big offensive rebound put back, and he has the ability to hit the open three, but to get us a basket around the paint. And one of the things when we've had scoring droughts is we haven't gotten easy baskets, and we don't have necessarily that same kind of bailout option in the post that we've had the last 3-4 years. So we got to get it differently. And we got to get it off dribble penetration. Chris had a backdoor cut for a layup and an and one. He drove to the basket when it was a 2-point game, got fouled, made his basket, missed his free throw, but, you know, and he got an offensive putback. So those were 6 or 7 points that he got us at 2 feet and in. And you need to be able to get that kind of scoring as well as hitting the three ball.
Penn State ran into this with Jamal Cornley, and when Cornley either got hurt or finally graduated, that timeout would be called. You'd be under 10 in the shot clock. You knew where you wanted to go, or the timeout would be called to say, hey, look, let's kill a drought here, and of course you'd take it to the block and he'd make a play.
Right.
How much have you had to change your mindset as a head coach as to how to handle those situations because Mike isn't there any longer?
It's different. There's no question about it. And we're playing a lot differently. Just our entire offense is more four guard oriented, and to get an easy basket, we have to be willing, to run our offense. And it might not be the same guy getting the look. Whereas the reality is, down the stretch of the last 2 years, for sure, you know, late clock, we were going to Mike every time, and he was going to touch it, and we were going to live or die with the results, and a lot more living than dying. This team is made up differently. And there was one possession at the end of the first half where we ran offense, couldn't get a good look, couldn't get a good look, and nobody panicked. And with 2 seconds on the shot clock, Ryan Hill drove, laid it in. We need to be able, as a coaching staff, but as players, to just be comfortable, just keep executing, keep attacking. And it's not necessarily always going to be the same guy getting the look, which is quite a different approach than what we've had the last few years.
You're a plus 32 right now in terms of the number of assists to the number of turnovers you have. How important has it been that in how you take care of the ball and how you distribute the ball in this offense and defense?
Well, it's important because we have to value every possession. And we've done a pretty good job of not turning the ball over. And we faced a lot of different kinds of defenses, which hopefully will give us a greater degree of comfort as we go further and further into Patriot League play. But because we're not a team, you know, we're not great on the offensive glass. We don't get a lot of extra possessions to get to the foul line again without that bailout option. We can't have an empty trip where we don't at least shoot the ball. You know, we got to get a shot at the basket every time. So we've done a pretty good job of taking care of the basketball.
Your three-point percentage defense is 31%. Is that indicative that you're playing the perimeter pretty well?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. And I think, Colgate came in, they were the leading three-point shooting team in terms of percentage and makes in the country. We held them to 1-for-12. And part of it is that we really have to do the job on the perimeter because we're not, you know, necessarily going to be as intimidating in the paint around the basket. So we've got to really do a good job taking care of the three-point arc.
All right, so now you got Lafayette. They're next on Wednesday. You got to go to Easton for that. Then you're back at Soika for Holy Cross. Just, I know you take it one at a time, so let's just discuss the Lafayette component and what's going to be important against them.
Well, Lafayette shoots the ball exceptionally well. Fran O'Hanlon's one of the best offensive coaches around. And so we got to really, again, be locked in and guarding on the perimeter. They're probably a little bit better penetrating than maybe Colgate was. They've got an inside threat. So they're a very balanced offensive team. And again, then we have to really defend, but we can't have long offensive droughts on our end. So it's just a matter of just trying to get a little bit better every day. And we can't, you know, that's always been the adage, you take one game at a time. But especially with this team, as we're continue to evolve and figure out roles and grow and improve kind of on the fly, we just got to take one day at a time, literally.
You talk about improving and evolving one day at a time. Season-wise, you're now into, what, the seventh week of this. Where have you evolved and grown, and where's the door open to make you better?
Well, I think we got a little better. We've improved now at getting to our second option in our offense. So early on, we were playing differently than we had in the past. We maybe sneaked up on some people with some different actions and some different wrinkles and had success. And then teams started to guard us a little bit differently, and that kind of put us back on our heels. And now, you know, we certainly have not arrived, but we're more equipped to get to second and third options and the second, third side of the floor and to combat different ways of guarding different things. So I think there's a growing sense of comfort. I wouldn't say there's an abundant sense of comfort, but there's a growing sense of comfort in being able to play against different styles and different defenses. I think the area where we have to improve, you know, like we did a good job on the defensive glass yesterday, did a poor job on the defensive glass against Fairfield and American. And we're going to be undersized, but we got to really compete on the glass. I think that's really going to be a big component. We're going to maybe give up some shots in the paint to bigger front lines, but we can't give them a second shot.
I let Penn State know that you're not a candidate for the football job. They say while they're disappointed, they'll turn to other options, but they thank you for your initial interest.
Yeah, that sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
Dave, thanks so much. Hey, good luck on Wednesday night at Lafayette.
All right, thank you. Take care.
You too. And our thanks to Sean and Angie Kint. They'll be going to Wednesday's Penn State-Minnesota game. They shared our ticket contest picture on Facebook and more chances to win. So, Sean and Angie, congratulations. Final half hour, Rich Scarcella. We will come back and see if we can encourage the mime to talk. Eagles lost.
Yeah.
No. Bengals lost.
I enjoyed that one.
Why was that?
Listen, I enjoy watching the Bengals lose.
You take great pleasure in other people not succeeding.
Yeah, sometimes I do. I'm not going to deny it.
Wow.
I'm not going to deny it. You know, I said to Sarah Bartlett just the other day, I said, the nice thing after the final week of the regular season, I said, one of the nice things about the Steelers not making the playoffs is neither did the Ravens.
Wow. Just get everybody up today as Mark Brennan reported on Fight on Steak, Craig Fitzgerald leaving Penn State to join Bill O'Brien in Houston in the strength and conditioning program. On top of that, Dwight Gault, Sean Hayes, who are also in the strength and conditioning program, have handed in their resignations. That leaves Greg Miskinis as the only one in that room at the moment. Stan Hixon, who is expected to join Bill O'Brien in Houston. Charles London, the running back coach. And Anthony Midget, safeties coach, all submitting their resignations. That leaves Larry Johnson, John Butler, John Strollo, and Mac McWhorter as the only coaches in that section of the building. Jim Bernhardt's already handed in his resignation as the special assistant to the head coach. Bill Kavanaugh, of course, already had left. Talked to Bill on his last day, which was December 21st. He took the head coaching job at Bentley in Waltham, Massachusetts, his alma mater. So he's no longer there. And Kirk Deal is still there as the director of football operations. And Spider Caldwell and Danny Sowash are downstairs. And to our knowledge, Tim Bream and Wes Sohn in the training room. That's, at the moment, the staff. That's what happens in these. Now, I say, and it's only me saying it, so it's not going to, don't put any weight to it, but they'll have this thing done by the end of the week. You know... Going quickly at days, again, we talk about days. It seems like 3 months ago that Dave Joyner said that. And I thought he handled the press conference really well on Thursday. Well, even though it seems like it's been months since he said that, it was last Thursday. Today's Monday. And Fight on State says John Butler has also resigned. So now they're down to three coaches there.
Steve, before you get to the breakout, Billy from Winfield wants to ask a question.
No, I'm not talking to anybody today. No, I'm just kidding. Hi, Billy.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Billy. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Hey, I know it's not probably among the first 10 things or even 50 things on your mind, but my team, the Dolphins, fired their offensive coordinator Mike Sherman today.
Yes, they did, which was interesting because he was Ryan Tannehill's coach at Texas A&M.
Exactly. So I know you know a lot about that, and I'm just wondering, is there possibly a head coach in the NCAA that would make, you know, you see as being a good possibility to move up into the NFL as an offensive coordinator that might work out well for the Dolphins and the scheme they're running with Tannehill?
I've got to wonder if they're going to find another coach. For example, does Joe Philbin look at Tom Clements at Green Bay?
Yeah, that's
all right.
I've heard some of that,
you know,
yeah.
That'd be the first person I would think of because Philbin and Clements worked together when they were at the Packers. And if there's a trust level there that may be the one that he takes and moves with and brings him down to Miami with him. And after yesterday's game where the wind chill was 28 below zero, Clements may be thrilled to take anything in Miami.
Right. Most people would around here.
Yeah, I would think so because tomorrow it's going to be, 5 degrees? They've already closed the state college schools for tomorrow. Right, they're already closed tomorrow because of the wind chill being well below zero. But that's the first name I would think of. And that's one thing, that Billy, that you'll notice in the NFL. A lot of times, instead of dipping into the college ranks to get a coordinator, they'll take somebody that's already established in the league as a coordinator. Take, for example, Tampa Bay. Lovie Smith takes the Tampa Bay job. Who does he bring in as his defensive coordinator right away? Leslie Frazier, the former head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. So usually when they're starting to tap guys to be a coordinator in the league, they usually like to have somebody who's been in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wish that I wish we could bring some offensive firepower, play calling, you know, to the Dolphins. I'm pretty sick and tired of the last few years. And several years, and I think Tannehill has got it inside of him, but he's going to have a coach who's willing to call the plays to use him. And I think he needs to work on the long ball, too, to Wallace. But.
Well, Billy, I'll tell you right now, Tannehill's heading into his third year. He's made more progress than I thought he would make. And heading into his third year, here I have Mike Wallace. And I'll tell you, a guy really likes Brian Hartline. Moves the chains, makes some plays. And, of course, Wallace is the home run hitter in this thing. Going into his third year, you'll probably want a coordinator who looks at Tannehill and thinks going to his third year, he's probably mature enough to now do some of the stuff you're talking about. Because Philbin's an offensive guy. They bring in somebody else that's an offensive guy. And I think that's one of the reasons why they decided to go with Sherman. Maybe he was uncomfortable with the direction they were going in as to how they were calling plays. Certainly Jason Garrett wasn't happy with the direction Bill Callahan was going in Dallas.
Right.
And started getting his nose in there more and more as to how they called the plays. So I think that's one of the things that Philbin probably looked at. And the only reason I mentioned Clements right away is that it seemed like a pretty good partnership in Green Bay when they were together.
Yeah. All right, hey, good talking to you. Appreciate your insight. Have a great afternoon, guys.
Billy, you too. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word: Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Next half hour, we will talk with Rich Scarsella. And talk about the coaching search. And look, let's be honest. There's a lot of guesswork going on right now with this. And there are a couple things, of course. Twitter is certainly a major influence in terms of getting information out. People want to know, and I completely understand that. You don't think I don't want to know? But also, because there's been such a changeover here at Penn State, a lot of people that had contacts before, some of those contacts aren't around anymore. And I think that's maybe stalled some of the process along the way. in terms of trying to find out information. And we all know that the search committee has been justifiably tight-lipped about it. So we now sit back, wait, and see. But yeah, you're down to three coaches in the building now. You're down to Larry Johnson, John Strollo, and Mac McWhorter. Because it looks like John Butler also has a... also handed in his resignation.
I just wonder who... You know, we've heard about all the guys on the radar, all the coaches on the radar. I just wonder who no one is thinking about. Because remember the last time this happened? I don't remember Bill O'Brien's name coming up at all. And then all of a sudden, Bill O'Brien's the coach.
Well, near the end, I heard his name. I probably with about a week to go before they announced it, that's when I heard his name.
Yeah, I just wonder.
How about this story about Wade Phillips? They fired him, and then they asked him if he'd renew his luxury suite.
I had to think about that one a little bit. Huh. Did he get a discounted rate?
Says to Texan suite sale. I'm sorry, but because of recent changes, I will not renew my purchase of a suite. Hope you understand, Wade Phillips.
That was very polite.
Think so, too.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Jack Cam and I have not resigned.
I think I saw that on Twitter, though.
But look, whether or not they join Bill O'Brien at Houston or not, they all had to feel like, hey, look, I've got to start protecting myself and looking for another job here. Because whomever is going to take over as the head coach, you know, 8 to 9 times out of 10 names guys that are his guys. I mean, that's the way it is. That's how the business is done. And so they had to be looking to protect themselves one way or the other. It looks like, for example, John Butler, Stan Hixon, Craig Fitzgerald, that they're all, and Charles London, it looks like they're Houston bound. Anthony Midget, I don't know. He might or might not be. Dwight Gault, Sean Hayes, geez, if Fitzy went, you're trying to put two and two together saying they're going too. Jimmy Bernhardt's already, you know, going to join Bill down there. Which is fine. I mean, these are people he's comfortable with, works with, understands the whole deal. For Penn State, that leaves Larry Johnson, Mac McWhorter, and John Strollo in the office, and then we'll see. Larry has already said that he wants to apply for the job. Whether or not he is interviewed or not, I don't know at this stage. But there are certainly names out there. Al Golden's name was out there at one point. He had a press conference today. James Franklin's name's out there. Mike Munchak's name's out there. And there's could be 1, 2, 3, or 4 candidates we don't even know of. But my gut is and it's only my gut, which we're trying to make sure there's less of as time goes, that... And my gut tells me that we'll know by the end of the week. But that's only my gut feeling with no information at all. Rich Scarsella joins us. Rich, my good friend, great to have you with us.
Good afternoon, Steve.
Can you believe? Here we go again with this. How difficult is this in your job, Rich? Because obviously a lot of people have changed here, which means potential sources have changed over time and so forth, and plus the social media aspect of it.
Well, it's similar to 2 years ago, excuse me, in that the social media was present then, and you know you're following things on Twitter, but don't forget it was stretched over a longer period of time. This has been compacted, and frankly, if right now Twitter has been a great aid in my job, but I have had enough of Twitter over the last 6 days.
I'm sure.
Oh my goodness, you know, and I'm not just like the rest of us. It's just a constant check your phone, but that's part of the job. What are you going to do? I mean, there are worse things in the world. So, anyway, that's where we're at.
Along the way, what do you know or not know? What do you hear or not hear?
I don't think I've heard anything. I mean, really. I mean, other than what everybody else knows. I mean, as far as I can tell, the search committee or whoever's conducting the interviews has been fairly tight-lipped, and it's that Dave Joyner, I guess. The news yesterday that Al Golden was more or less withdrawing as a candidate was surprising to me because I and others thought he was the leading candidate. Mm-hmm. I do think that if it is down to Mike Munchak and James Franklin, I think they're both very good candidates. So we'll see. But, I haven't heard anything today. Have you?
No, I haven't heard a single thing. Not one thing. It's all quiet, and that doesn't mean nothing's happening. It just means it's all quiet at the moment. Idealistically, what kind of personality needs to be in this job for you? And this takes all names off the table. It's just a personality fit.
Well, you know, I think you have to be able to be good with people. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I think Bill O'Brien was obviously, what came out is he was tired of. Maybe he thought he was doing too much of dealing with people. I don't know, but I thought he was really good at it. And I think that whoever the next Penn State coach is has to be. I mean, that's part of the job description. You have to represent the football program and the university. Let's face it, you are a representative of the university, and you got to deal with alums, boosters, trustees, media. Players, not in that order, players, parents, and so on and so forth. That's part of the job. So I think that's a big element. I think head coaching experience, that to me is vital, and I think Dave Joyner, I asked him about that last week at the press conference, and he I think agreed with me that's one of their top criterias. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that somebody has to be a Penn State, quote-unquote Penn State guy. Bill O'Brien wasn't a quote-unquote Penn State guy and did a very good job. Joe Paterno wasn't a Penn State guy when he got hired in 1950 and obviously did a tremendous job.
Rip Engel.
So I don't think that's a necessity. But I'll tell you this, Steve. I talked to Kerry Collins last Thursday. We talked for about 20 minutes, and he was effusive in his praise of Mike Munchak. Now, he knows Mike. Kerry still lives in the Nashville, Tennessee area. Said he's in regular contact with him. But he said you couldn't meet a better person. Couldn't meet a better coach. He's got great love for Penn State. I don't know James Franklin. I know he started his coaching career here in Berks County at Kutztown University, but he was only here 1 year, and obviously I was covering Penn State, so I never really met him. Mm-hmm. But I think he's got a very impressive resume as well. A Bucks County guy, born in Langhorne and the whole bit, and I think he would do a good job too. I think the other part of the equation, as I'm sure you agree, is that you can't. Whoever you hire, there's no guarantees how long that person will stay. But I think you've got to get a feeling that if you're Dave Joyner or other members of the search committee, that you would like to hire somebody who's going to be around for at least 5 years.
Agreed. In fact, that's something I've talked about, that in general terms, I said, look, you're going to get quality candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to sit down in terms of what your personal taste is about the quality candidates. And I said two of the key things to me are, number one, personality, because that means something, because you have to be able to connect with that person in the interview to begin with. And you're thinking, if I connect with them, other people will too. And the other part is I want them to think that Penn State is the job. I want them to go look at this and go, you know what?
It's a destination job.
It is a great job. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if it turns out down the road, okay, I understand if something 5, 6, 7, 8 years, because you're not looking at a 46-year hire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mack Brown was at Texas, it seems like forever, but he was there 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean, that's, you know, so I want them to look at this and go, you know what? I hit the jackpot. I got the Penn State job.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, those are the two things I've looked at, because I think the quality is there off the top, and it's good to hear that. You know, and people have asked me about Mike Munchak, and I said, look, I said, the head coach is the closer. The assistant coaches that he hires are the go-getters. I mean, that's the part people have to remember, that if that were to be the direction,
because
people have talked about the lack of college experience.
Yeah, I'm not as hung. I think I'm like you then. It sounds like I'm like you that.
Yeah.
I'm not as hung up on that as a lot of people are, because Mike Munchak's been a coach for 20 years. He was a Pro Football Hall of Famer before that as a player. So, from all indications, he's a very smart guy. And so I think he'll figure it out in terms of who to hire. And you're right. The assistant coaches do the yeoman's work here in recruiting. And Mike Munchak, I think, just will represent himself in a very good way and be an effective closer. I mean, all he has to do is flash his Hall of Fame ring.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying he should be the guy, because I really like James Franklin.
Yeah, and James Franklin.
One of those two guys, I have no problem with either one.
And James Franklin, you mentioned the part
I'm not hung up on the lack of college experience with Mike.
Right, and I'm not hung up on the lack of college experience, and I'm also not hung up on the in the least about the Penn State thing. I think once you get the job, you become one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
You put your own imprint on it, and you become one. You know, because you become a part of that job. And I think that part, I don't care if Penn State's in your background or not. I think you become a part of your organization the second you join it.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And I'm sure, even though Bill O'Brien coached at Penn State for 2 years, just 2 years, I'm sure going forward he's going to feel like a part of the Penn State community.
Right. Agreed.
Going down the road.
Yeah, agreed. No, no question about that. Feel on the championship game tonight. Have you even had a chance to even think about it based on the fact that you're checking your phone every second on Twitter?
No, you know, I just said this to my boss about an hour ago. I'm not really excited about the championship game, and I'm normally not, because it's sort of anticlimactic. Now, next year might be different.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it will be different because you have a lead up to it. But this is just sort of, you know, I got really excited for the games last week, and there were some very, very good games, especially BCS games. I do like Auburn. I think even though they're 10.5-point underdogs, I do like Auburn. I think playing in the SEC, having a physical ground game, I don't think Florida State has seen an offense like this, and I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game.
And for the Big Ten, a down bowl season. Michigan State saved it.
Mm-hmm.
They saved it. But it really would have helped the conference. In terms of the conference, I mean, you know, you and I are just looking at it as conference observers, but it would have helped the conference's image of Ohio State. If they had picked up two BCS wins, I think then Jim Delaney has something to talk about.
And obviously they came very close to doing that, but I agree with you. I think if Ohio State had found a way to beat Clemson, then what would they have been? The Big Ten would have been 3-4.
Yeah.
But two BCS wins. Yeah, I think Delaney and everybody around the Big Ten could have lived with that. You know, don't forget too, Stephen. I don't know this. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but I think out of the seven bowl games involving Big Ten teams, I think the Big Ten teams were only favored, I think, in two of them.
Right. That's correct.
Is that right?
Yes. Two.
Okay. You know, so that's another thing to consider, too. But still, I Nebraska's win over Georgia was a surprise to me, and Michigan State was just, a wonderful performance by them in the Rose Bowl and beat a very, very good team in Stanford.
And the other part, too, for the Big Ten, this is an under-the-radar thing. Before, them had to play with their backup quarterback. So that's something else a lot of people have not talked about. Look, football is a quarterback-centric game now.
Mm-hmm.
and the four of them had to play with their backup quarterback, which I think ends up being, I mean, that enters into it as an issue.
No, it's a very good point. And if you're, are you counting Wisconsin?
I mean, yeah, because he got knocked
during the game.
Yeah, he got knocked out. That's why I say that eventually, you know, let's face it, when the game was on the line, they were playing the number two guy.
Oh, sure. So no, we'll see. I mean, I'm sure in the office in Chicago, they're hoping for better days ahead.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be the case, but we'll see. And I don't know. What's your feeling, Steve? What do you have any feeling on when this is going to happen with the coaching job?
It's only a gut feeling and a total guess on my part.
Mm-hmm.
But he said days, and he said that Thursday, and today's Monday. So we're still in the days phase.
Mm-hmm.
I personally would not be surprised if we know by the end of the week. How about that?
That's what I'm thinking. And Dave seemed to think that the 13th was an important date. So I'm under the impression that this is going to get done by the end of the week.
And I think part of this, too, is that when you go through this setup, when you finally identify on both sides, they want it, you want them. One of the keys, as you and I think both know, Rich, at this stage, that is more important now than, like, say, 5 years ago, they're going to have to vet the individual.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know,
absolutely. It's very important, especially in light of what happened in 2011. So it absolutely has to be done.
And it
does take time.
Right. And that's part of this.
Yeah, it doesn't take an hour. It takes a little bit more time than that.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it's been. I know a lot of us on the beat. You know, our nerves. Like, just for example, and people may not appreciate this, but my boss says, "Is there anything that you could write today?" And I'm like, "Well, nothing has happened, so I don't think I can." You know, other than, and I just found out after I spoke to him that Craig Fitzgerald apparently is headed to Houston to join Bill O'Brien, and that'll be a big loss for Penn State. But other than that, I don't think there is anything unless something happens the rest of today.
Right, and Fitz had to, because that's a position that the head coach comes in and they control as to whether, you know, who their strength and conditioning guy is.
Yeah,
so.
And really, are you surprised by that?
No, not in the least.
No, I'm not. I mean, for considering Bill's relationship with Craig and
absolutely,
and the job that he did here at Penn State, I mean, no, I wasn't surprised at all. It is a big loss for Penn State, but mm-hmm. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and the players loved him. I mean, that's the big...
Yes, very much.
Yeah, and they loved him. They'd run through a wall for him and so forth. And you know, but I wish him nothing but the best, because he worked awfully hard. He threw his heart and soul into this thing.
Oh, my goodness, did he ever.
I mean, but you could run out in the shorts and T-shirts mm-hmm. in December in Houston in a dome stadium and not get pneumonia. So at least...
Well, I've seen this before, and a lot of people said they would like to have seen him get the strength and conditioning coach job in Green Bay. And I'm, as a Packers fan... I guess both of us are Packers fans.
Yeah.
That would have been fun to see him standing in a T-shirt and shorts yesterday at Lambeau.
Yeah, and also covering the scene in the hospital today. So
Exactly.
Need offensive line help, okay? Wouldn't hurt.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
And we're talking as Packers fans.
Yeah.
We got to protect the investment.
The investment, and the other part is losing Starks was huge.
Yes.
So
Rodgers is really good.
I'm not terribly disappointed, because San Francisco's a better team.
Yeah.
But I was just glad they had a chance to win. They had their chances, and it's the way it goes. So.
I think any of the six teams in that NFC playoff could have won the whole NFC. I think that's how good the conference is.
Yeah. It's good enough. Seattle sitting there saying, "Come on out, we're waiting."
Yeah. Yeah.
Rich, always an absolute pleasure. Appreciate it, pal.
Steve, my pleasure, and I'm sure we'll see each other in a few days.
I'm sure we will, too. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle. We'll come back, rejoined by the mime in a moment, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, I'll tell you, you came out swinging today.
Did I? I've just been listening intently, like everybody else, trying to absorb what's happened over the last week. Not even yet.
Everybody just settled. It's all right. Man, I don't want to be Kevin Bacon here in Animal House, you know, standing on the street, okay, with my hands up, getting run over, because I don't think it's I think once you get a new coach in place, right, immediately it settles the situation. Then they assemble the staff. That settles it even more. Then you start to see the, you know, what they're doing about 15 and 16 in recruiting. And then you start to see with spring practices, some things come to reality. And you're like, okay, you know, now you start getting anxious for Ireland again. Just, it's all right.
Are you saying weather the storm?
I'm just saying that when there is uncertainty, it brings with it a certain negativity and chaos. Like, what are they going to do? What's going to happen? What about the current players? What about the recruits? What are they going to do? Okay, settle down. By the end of the week, I think they'll have somebody. The second they do, things will settle into place. It's always that time and era of uncertainty that brings with it, what's going on? Who are they looking at? You know, what about the recruits? What about... I completely understand that because it's unsettled. I want to know like you want to know. At the same time, I also know that these things take time. There is a process. Also, part of that process is vetting the person you eventually pick to make, just to make sure. That's all. And there are going to be a lot of reports along the way about this lean, that lean, a tweet here, a tweet there. Don't shoot the messengers, okay? The messengers are all trying to work hard to get the story out there. So let's not do that, okay? Because everybody is aching for information. They're trying to provide you with some. So don't shoot the messengers. Just take it all with a grain of salt as part of the process. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Steve Jones for Kevin Herr. Thanks for joining us today. Can't wait to talk to you tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK.